Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm. Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Brunch here at Sports City. I need a few moments of your time as we have a moment of silence for Jose Ricardo Horton Jr. All right. I do want to, get into this show as best as we possibly can. I had recognized it on the Wednesday night show at the cookout. His family was going through a tough situation, and they're still going through the situation, and his son had lost his life as of Thursday afternoon. And, we were trying to get some things started in Sports City, but regardless, despite the situation, we got to progress and keep on moving, and I do want to get into the show as best as possible. Let me get to my brothers and my co-hosts. Jose, please hold it down, and we got you in here. Calling in by way of Wales in Europe, we got the Welsh Dragon himself. Roger, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Doing great, thanks. As great as can be, given the situation, understanding, what we're going through as a team here, and, it's my birthday today, so I'm kind of half celebrating. Can't really do too much with it, given that a fellow chef is going through some tough times. And like you said, we just stick together and work through it. But great to be on. Let's do one for Jose and do a show for Jose in memory of his son, and keep moving forward. Great to be here. Thanks, guys.
No doubt, and we're going to try and mask this as best as we possibly can, and have this be a good note instead of looking at this on a down note. It is Roger's birthday. I'm going to keep throwing that in his face that he's gotten older in the kitchen. So I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to try our best to have a good day today with everything surrounding Sports City and a fellow chef in the building also. And also the second brother and chef in the building calling by way of California. We have Vinny Servideo. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Happy birthday, Rod. It's always fun celebrating a birthday. Heart goes out to Jose and wish him and his family the best. And like we said on yesterday, last show we did together, it's sports is a great equalizer, right? It will help us just not forget about, but put aside certain things that can really put a damper on us. And, looking forward to doing the show with you guys today.
Okay, so let's get into what we're going to do, what we notably do, get into the week that was, especially the weekend being Saturday, and then get into our news and notes and predictions for week 4 in the NFL. First and foremost, I do want to start with how things went down for the Thursday night game. The Vikings ended up losing that game to the Rams and getting that one out of the way as quickly as possible, even though we probably are feeling into some of it as the show progresses and we get into more of our week 4 predictions. The score ended up being 38-31, a very offensively rattled game, but the defenses were there, in which the kitchen went 2-3, being Timeless and Vinny, both going with the Rams. James, Roger, and Sirius all went with the Vikings. So, Vinny, congratulations on that game Thursday night. Your thoughts about the game that went down Thursday evening?
Wow, the Rams really flexed their muscles on the rest of the league, I think, are the class of the NFL right now. There's always – I look at after 4 weeks – this is why I told you I wanted to do a show, like a re-prediction show of, not a re-prediction, but it's an analysis show about what we think is happening now after we get a little bit of a small sample size of what's going on in the NFL and what teams are doing, its strengths and weaknesses, et cetera. And watching the Rams, I'm very impressed. They look like the class of the NFL. They took it to Minnesota and McVay, what a great coach, offensive mind, Goff, great passing. I mean, he set some records. I did a little research after that game, and I found out that there have been more 400-yard games thus far this year than ever in NFL history. So the NFL is getting what they want, which is passing yardage, a lot more offense. So offense is definitely on the spike up, and the Rams are leading the way right now and looking like the team to beat. So interested to see if they can keep this up.
Okay, Rodri, your thoughts on the Thursday night game and you actually going with the Vikings along with James is serious, how this didn't pan out for a very hot and interesting Kirk Cousins. He had a 400-yard passing day, too, but fell short.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the passes he threw, I think both quarterbacks really showed their class. I think that's the first thing that hit me from the game. And a guy like Cooper Kupp, I think we mentioned him on previous shows, Ben. I think you mentioned him. Just, I remember him at Eastern Washington, you know, just a work addict and just played so well. But some of the passes Jared Goff threw, I think that was, if there's a game we're going to look back on Jared Goff's career when he made that breaking point, I think Thursday night could be that game. Sean McVay just coming in and getting the best out of Goff, where, you know, with Goff in his rookie year, didn't look, to be honest, they wasn't sure if he was going to be around much, you know, because nobody was definitely sure after his rookie year, but he's just playing so well. The second touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp in the top corner of the right side of the end zone was just superb. And some of those passes, guys, and missing defenders by inches on both sides of the ball. But to me, it was a McVay versus Zimmer game, and definitely missing Everson Griffin, although you can't, you know, use that as an excuse for the game, because it was all McVay and the Rams offense. Missed Aqib Talib a little bit, but Marcus Peters played well after that injury. I don't know, you know, how he managed it, but he did and played really well. Aaron Donald, so dominant. As you said, he was going to be tied, and he didn't let us down. A few missed blocks on that Minnesota offensive line. I think getting Pat Elflein back will help them going forward. I really like him, but that was a game they had to win after such a bad loss against Buffalo, and they didn't get it done. It was in L.A., and they needed to win that game to sort of prove to us, you know, that they were the real deal, and they didn't get it done. So good for the Rams, like you said, looking like the best team at the moment, with New England not playing so well and so many others. We'll get into that, but yeah, Rams looking good, and the team to beat by the looks of it.
They're one of them. I truly think it's still between the Battle of Missouri, even though they just left being the former St. Louis Rams. That's why I'm saying the Battle of Missouri and the Kansas City Chiefs. Both of them, you know, playing exceptional ball at this point in time. With at least I can say both offenses are clicking, but the Rams, they have a defense too to go with it. So it's going to be very tough if, you know, the Rams end up putting up 27 points and you having to, you know, try and chase that lead while their defense is pinning their ears back, getting after the quarterback. And, you know, the summary can actually change throughout the remainder of the season, but as of right now, definitely the teams that have caught in everybody's eye is the St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm getting caught up, I'm sorry. But just like I said, I knew Todd Gurley would get stronger in that game, and Cooper Kupp, we've spoken on different shows here at Sports City, that this is a strong presence at the receiver position, whether he's a 1-2 or the third option at the receiver position. And just like we spoke on Aaron Donald, the way that he was coming after Kirk Cousins, he was going through that thing unblockable. Like, they were trying to get a hand on him. He just too quick to be that small and strong as an ox to get through that line for a quarterback to try and get away from it. And that could be a recipe for a disaster, you know, for a team trying to, you know, compete with the Rams. I do give them a ton of credit for what they've been able to do in the first quarter of the season and them being 4-0 at this point. Now, the questionable point is right now, we looked at this team being a stronger team in the NFC, and that being the Minnesota Vikings, and them putting a whole bunch of money into Kirk Cousins and worrying about all of their pieces coming back, whether it being Thielen or Diggs or having Dalvin Cook be back. this is actually big on Minnesota's production moving forward, because they're 1-2-1 with a tie with the Green Bay Packers. So this makes their record still interesting because they have that tie. So they, you know, just depending on how the remainder of the season ends up, they still could save themselves, or this could come back and end up biting them or shooting themselves in the foot with the tie with the Green Bay Packers. We will see how it does progressively move forward. I do want to get into the top 25 and talk about the game that took place Thursday also. I'm having a little technical difficulty, so people that are called in queue, just give me some time because the board is resetting, but I do want to get into the top 25 and the game's news and notes as well. But the Thursday night matchup was one of them, and everybody in the kitchen that knows me so well know that I was watching this game very closely. Miami taking care of business up against UNC 47-10, in which the craze around college football is to have a team do something, you know, defensively I more or less say defensively, and a lot of other colleges are copying what Miami has set forth as the standard to, like, try to get the team morale up or change momentum in the game, and at that turnover chain, and in which they actually turned North Carolina over 6 different times, in which they were scoring the ball defensively at a better clip than they were scoring the ball offensively, too. So I want to see how you guys feel about that game coming out of the gate with Miami beating North Carolina 47-10. Rodney, I'll start with you first on the Thursday night, then I'll get into the remainder of the top 25 that took place on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a great game, man. I thought, you know, I was thinking that how happy you must be to see this happening right now. You know, just being a fan, a big fan of the Hurricanes that you are. Amazing. And to see them just back playing good football, you know, I think that's a huge. It's what the NCAA needs is Miami to be a legitimate threat, I think. And we saw for the first quarter, you know, North Carolina sort of held them. It was close. But after that, bro, they just blew them out. It was so dominant. And Dallas, Homer, you know, looking like good running backs, like the both of them, really, really impressive. And the offensive line blocked so well, giving them the running yards. And to me, that's U football. That's Miami football. Playing in that stadium now, new stadium in Miami, it looked good. And yeah, I mean, for Perry, he's a dependable kind of guy, dependable kind of quarterback right now. Nikosi Perry, and I think getting that win, number 16 in the country, things are looking good. Things are looking good for the U. And Michael Irvin's happy, the boys are happy, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, The Rock, did it for them. Warren Sapp, you know, The Rock. Can you smell? Yeah, it's it's good. I think it's what the NCAA needs, and Hard Rock Stadium was rocking. Fair play. And congrats, Ty. I know you really wanted to see this, you know, as big of a fan you are. But, yeah, that's, to me, NCAA football is NCAA football when Miami are playing well. And 4-1 is a good record starting off the year. And looking for more from them going forward.
Well, here's the thing. And you know, I try my best to stay away from, like, talking about the teams that I love because it's like I turn into my bias. But analytically, I feel like they got more to do. Not to say that they got ways to go, because they're there. They're where they need to be. It's just that they can't be content with what they have in front of them right now. Once that balance comes, especially in the offense, more or less the passing game and the running game working together, I think that'll be big. And there's already, like, missing links on the defensive side of the ball. They played that game without Jaquan Johnson, who is notably their defensive leader, and a guy that, you know, was an understudy as of Ed Reed for the past 2 seasons also. So that's absolutely big for the Hurricanes to be able to win these type of games when they least need it, but still need to come and show up as a quality top 25 team, notably all across the nation as well. Vinny, your thoughts on the game? Did you actually hear or see what happened with the North Carolina-Miami matchup?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit briefed on it, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, they beat North Carolina. They're 1-3 overall. I get it. People get behind their team in college, and you you stick with it. And I actually, this is one of the best things about college football is you have they're only there for a few years. So this is where the system and the coaching is even in recruiting especially is even more important in terms of building a good program, going a winning program. That and some people do it better than others. Don't even need to say that who we because we all know here. But let's lay up the good win. It's always everybody loves to win, but let's pump the brakes on Miami because they really haven't beaten anybody yet. So that's just what I have to say about that. And I look at their schedule. They don't really have anybody else on their schedule that they play. It's maybe at BC. BC is usually tough. I don't know how good they are this year, but good win. Good to see like Audrey said, good to see Miami and Notre Dame teams like that doing well. That's good for college football. But when I think about college football, I can't help but think, is anybody going to dethrone Miami? It seems to be the same old song. This team's got college football by the throat, and that's they seem to be pretty far ahead of everybody else.
And I'm not here, banking on or bragging about it. I'm just saying it as it came, being one, this is a Thursday night game, and two, this is the team that I like, and three, them being one of the top 25 as I get ready to go through the remainder of the games. But the next upcoming game is their biggest rivalry going up against Florida State, and I'm not even trying to, be on the fact of saying Miami is this, Miami is that, but they have to play the games on their schedule because if we look at the likes of Alabama, which we'll get into, they just played Louisiana. Not Louisiana State, not Louisiana Tech. They played Louisiana. Can you name a top player that ever came from Louisiana ever? You know what I'm saying? But we still give Alabama credit to take care of what's in front of them on their schedule. You know what I'm saying? And they still get a lot of praise, and not to take anything away from Alabama, but Alabama's a notable school that you got to reckon with. So, and just this being an ACC matchup within the conference, I'm taking it for face value on how that game went. And, like I said, I'm not totally accepting on what they had done up until these games right now. They lost the game up against LSU, and they won the game that they needed to do so far in their schedule. Like, I don't feel like this is a pump or break situation. They had to play that type of football.
And that's all you can really do.
Go ahead, Rod.
Sorry, bud. No, I'm just saying the Tar Heels coming in off with the 2 weeks off because of Hurricane Florence as well. So wise not to get too far in front. But, it is great to see a winner. And like Vinny said, Notre Dame also. Sorry, man. You wanted to check it out.
I was going to say that all you can do is play the games in front of you and win. And sometimes if you have a conference like the SEC where there's several teams, not several, the few teams that are just in the top 25 and are really pretty formidable that you can make a statement almost on every week or two, every couple of weeks you could have a team that's notable that you're playing. So that's why be who's there, but you can't pick there.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling from the 313 area code. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning? Caller from the 313, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning? Okay, we'll just let that one rock. Okay, so we'll get into the top 25 matchups that happened yesterday. Like I said, there was no big significant, games or upsets, if you will, where everybody kind of took care of what they needed to take care of on this Saturday that just went past. Starting from top to bottom as best we possibly can. Like I said, Alabama took care of Louisiana in Tuscaloosa, winning that game 56-14, at which at halftime the score was 49-0. At the end of the third quarter, ended up being 56-0. Louisiana scored two scores in the fourth quarter to make this, I don't even know if I get to say respectable, but they ended up putting points on the board where this could have been a potential big-time blowout, 56-14. Georgia won their matchup in the SEC battle up against Tennessee, 38-12. Clemson survived a scare from Syracuse, in which Syracuse was up in that game 16-7 after halftime. It was 13-16 at the end of the third, and Clemson ended up putting up two more scores in that fourth quarter to win the game 27-23. Their injured quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, was knocked out of the game, in which the third-string quarterback, Bryce, came in and sealed the deal, especially with everything that's been going down there in Clemson. I'm wondering what happens with Kelly Bryant moving forward. Top 10 battle in the Big Ten. That's interesting. Top 10 Big Ten. Ohio State survived. They survived in the middle of College Station up against Penn State 27-26. McSorley had a hell of a game passing and rushing. He had 175 yards rushing as a quarterback and 282 yards passing up against Ohio State. Their freshman sensation, Hamler, had a good game, and he got hit pretty bad in the midst of that game, got knocked out of the game. Probably where a lot of their offense could have remained on top of this game, but the Ohio State did come back to win this game by one, 27-26. LSU in a romp up against Ole Miss, 45-16. Oklahoma up against Baylor in a Big 12 matchup, 66-33. Notre Dame, probably one of the success stories this year, or surprise success, I could kind of include them together. That I guess I get to call this an upset, but it was the 7th versus 8th ranked team. Notre Dame won this game in South Bend, 38-17, up against Stanford, shutting them down after the first half. Auburn winning their game up against Southern Miss, 24-13. Washington, 35-7, up against BYU. West Virginia in an early romp that turned into a dogfight late, surviving the game up against Texas Tech, 42-34. UCF up against Pittsburgh, winning that game down there in Florida, 45-14. UCF has been playing some strong ball ever since last year, leading the nation in one of the longest win streaks at this point, stemming back from last weekend, not last week, but from last year. And they are continuing to score. It was a 50-point clip every game that they played in Florida, but now they've only scored 45 points. Like, that's a bad thing. Michigan winning their game up against Northwestern, 20-17. Kentucky continuing the roll at 5-0 in the SEC. They're 3-0, 24-10 up against South Carolina. Texas beating Kansas State on the road in Manhattan, Kansas 19-14. Oregon winning their game up against Cal, 24-42. Michigan State winning up against Central Michigan, 31-20. Duke losing their game up against Virginia Tech after Virginia Tech lost last week to Old Dominion, 31-14 at Duke. Duke being ranked the 22-ranked team in the nation, falls short up against Virginia Tech. And last but not least, Florida goes into Mississippi State and wins their game in a low score total of 13-6. Florida at 4-1 in the SEC. Any games that you guys have, you know, seen at this point or would like to discuss, or any of the teams that surprised you, like Notre Dame, up until this point? I throw this one around the kitchen. Vinny, I'll start with you.
I would like to give a shout-out to my boy, my brother, Ryan McCarthy. He's a great Penn State fan. We went to a few games together. I went with his family, and I kind of jumped on the bandwagon a bunch of years ago and started following Penn State. And he's a diehard, and I'm not going to say I'm a diehard, but I like to see them win, especially what they went through with that horrible situation with what's-his-face, the perv. And now that they're coming back, they're relevant again, and they're a good team. Horrible loss, horrible way to lose, but they matter. They're good. They're producing players like Saquon Barkley, and they asked if they had a quarterback that was on the Jets. I forget his name. Help me out here. What's the name of the Jets quarterback? The Penn State quarterback the Jets drafted that didn't pan out.
Christian Hackenberg.
Hackenberg.
Exactly. Yeah. So they have players. They got a tight end too that recently got drafted. So Penn State is moving in the right direction, and I like to see that. I like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I've always, since I was a kid, followed them, and I like to see them, like you with Miami, Ty. I like to see Notre Dame do well. That was the other big game yesterday, watching Notre Dame take it to Stanford, which is a good rivalry to top schools in the country, and both great programs, and Notre Dame coming out on top. It's hopefully it's almost like you watch to see like who's gonna get in the playoff. The playoff has spiced up college football, but with the dominance of Alabama, it's watching the regular season. It's fun to watch them teams go back and forth to see who's gonna be in the top four with a chance of possibly upsetting the great Alabama team. But yeah, so the Penn State story is something, and the Notre Dame stories just stick out for me.
Okay, and Roger, we do have a caller back in queue as well. Matter of fact, wait, I'll get the caller in. The caller calling from 313. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Your thoughts on what's been discussed so far?
So, Ty, you know me. I'm a big Kane. And what's the other gentleman's name that was talking about how it was not impressive as so far as what Miami's done?
His name is Vinny.
So he is exactly right. Our win was not as impressive as everyone thinks it is. We had 8 completions that game. We got dominated on our defensive line. Our defensive line got dominated as far as running is concerned. Our D-line got ran on. They ran for 215 yards. Like I said, we had 8 completions. We had 65 yards of penalties. The only thing that saved us was our 6 turnovers. And honestly, it was their mistakes on those turnovers. It wasn't like there was maybe 2 turnovers that we made plays. Other than that, they had more possession than us. They had less penalties than us. They dominated us on rushing. They were even with us on passing. I'm telling you, man, North Carolina is not as good as everyone thinks. And that the numbers don't speak for what you saw. It does not speak for what you saw. We need to play better. I'm telling you, we cannot play like this against a Florida State team or even a Virginia Tech team, even though they lost Old Dominion. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. We did not play to what we should have played to with the talent that we have. And Manny Diaz, his blitzing is so predictable, it's ridiculous. And it showed because they ran for 215 yards, man. North Carolina did 215 yards on our defense because the blitz packages that he brings are so predictable.
Okay, and Robbie, anything that you'd like to, you know, respond to that what was said or any game that might have caught your mind or caught your eye as well?
No, it's a good point. Good call in. I think, like, you know, the Tar Heels coming off that 2-week break definitely showed that, you know, they wasn't the strongest team. Nobody coming in off 2 weeks is going to be that good. So, yeah, you know, don't get too excited yet. I mean, there's plenty more to show, but just great to see a win. Go back to Trace McSorley, Ty. Do a quick Heisman, little bit of a Heisman look. I'm going to keep Trace McSorley in the top 5. I think, you know, when the game's on the line, he wants the ball in his hands. And we saw that yesterday, despite, yeah. And like you said, Vin, Jerry Sandusky, man, what he done for that. And Joe Paterno, what he done to Joe Paterno. And that program, Bill O'Brien done so well to come in and help him rebuild. I thought yesterday would have been a chance. That would have been a chance for them to completely, you know, come around the corner. But they done so well despite that. I think people thought Ohio State was going to miss Nick Bosa a lot more than they did. But fortunately, you know, they didn't. And they did well. They won the game. I'm just going to – so Trace McSorley, keep him at 5. Ed Oliver just misses out. Defensive tackle from Houston, such a dominant player. He will be in the top 5 of next year's draft. I have no doubt about that. Will Greer for West Virginia was so impressive again yesterday. He now has 20 touchdowns on the season. And West Virginia going undefeated so far. Both Sills and Sims are good receivers for him. And he's going to be a star. Will Greer doing so well. I have him at 4. At 3, Dwayne Haskins. He got the win yesterday. Had Dwayne Haskins not got that win, Trace McSorley might be up in the top 5 there. But we've got to look at Haskins. Led the Buckeyes so well. And he was flawless against Tulane the week before. Despite, you know, as good as Penn State looked yesterday, he got the win. So you've got to put him up there. Number 2, Kyler Murray. 7 total touchdowns yesterday. He was equal with Baker Mayfield last week in numbers. But he overtook him this week. And Kyler Murray at number 2. 17 of 21, 432 yards, 6 touchdowns passing, 1 touchdown running, saying he was outstanding. And Tua Tagovailoa, number one, just carrying on from the championship game. For me, he's leading the Heisman race at the moment. Incredible talent. Nick Saban's done such a good job with him. And Jalen Hurts wants to stick around because we'll see a bit of Jalen Hurts, but it's Tagovailoa's team, and he's playing so well. Tua, great in Elite 11. And seeing him carrying on from that, like another national championship in Alabama. That's all I really want to say about college football. But yeah, great. And good to have a, you know, keep an eye on the Heisman race, I think.
Okay, there is one team that is not in the top 25 that I do want to discuss at this point in time, and then I'll get into our week 4 news, notes, and predictions as well. What the heck is going on with the Cornhuskers? A lot of people don't know what's going on, but as of Scott Frost having a very interesting run with UCF, coached those guys to have that run that they're on up until this point as well, and I definitely think UCF deserves the recognition they aren't getting at this point. He takes a job in Nebraska. They are off to an 0-4 start, and they just lost the game to Purdue, in which Purdue was 1-3 coming into Nebraska. They ended up losing this game 42-28. They are 0-4 at the start of this season. Knowing that Nebraska has always been a powerhouse in college football, they are not off to the start that they need. I'm just wondering if they can salvage this season and try to end the season above 500 or 500. I feel like I'm putting a lot on them, but they are going to have that target on their back just because they are Nebraska. And for them to be, they haven't put a win up on the board yet. I wonder where this starts, because they are going to start getting into strong conference play, and I don't think it will get easier for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But Purdue ended up taking care of business 42-28. I did want to keep that a dish at bay for myself so I could throw that one around the kitchen also. But Nebraska, I'm scratching my head on what's going on, especially in a winnable game up against Purdue. Purdue came in there and handled their business and turned the tide back on you. The questions do need to be out on the start for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Okay. Moving right along into the week 4 picks, news, notes, and things of that nature. As we throw this one around the kitchen, we do have a good amount of time to get to all of the games. So I'm going to try and get everybody to get their picks in. So we do. And by the way, Vinny and Rodri, the caller's name is Logan. Just so you know, his name is Logan. So I don't want you to say the caller's name is Logan. So I will start with the week 4 picks, starting off with the Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 3.5 in this matchup. We will start this one to throw this around the kitchen. We do have a bit of callers that did call in. Hold on. I do have a caller from the 803. Welcome to the brunch. What's your name and what's on your mind this morning?
What's going on, man? It's Alonzo 1219, a.k.a. Die Hard, from Alonzo 1219, U Family YouTube channel. Logan is my little brother. He on my site. He spent a lot of love on my site. But I'm going to choke Logan out when I see him. Me and Logan going to fight when we meet up in Duke game. Manny Diaz is the best defensive coordinator in college football outside of anything in Nick Saban and my boy in Clemson. Blitzing too much never did that. He forced every turnover that Miami had. Miami was a top 10 defense last year after being ranked the year before. After being ranked before he got there, we were in almost in the 100. All right? You're supposed to blitz. This is what football is. You don't sit back in coverage and let a team throw the ball up and down the field on you. You talk about 200 yards rushing. That's about what North Carolina averages. I would rather give up 200 yards rushing than 500 yards passing. They scored 10 points. We scored 47. They scored 10 points. Our defense scored 21. Every one of those turnovers were forced. It was forced on a sack, it was a sack fumble, and it was a pick six where the safety read the line perfectly and jumped the route and picked it and took it to the house. Everything that defense did over the last 2.5 years have been earned. Now, I'm not going to talk about even in the first game of the season against LSU, our defense dominated. The only reason we lost that game is because we have an incompetent head coach who refused to play Nikosi Perry. Our offense is not going to be perfect because we have a redshirt freshman quarterback. But when it comes to athlete, there's not too many teams in the country that can match up with us, except for Florida State, who they're going through a coaching change right now, Alabama, Ohio State. Talent for talent, you just look at the draft every year. There's not too many teams that match up with Miami. It's a coaching issue at Miami, and it's not on the defense side of the ball, period. Notre Dame, hate them, always been overrated. That Catholic versus convict thing, I'm 42, so I'll never respect them. I spit on them. So no disrespect to the host, but I spit on Notre Dame. I have zero respect for them, zero at all. Plus, all they do is steal players and pay them, to be honest with you. But when it comes to Miami football, you can't get no realer. I'm being honest with you. There are way more players from that area, from Palm Beach, Miami, Lauderdale area, just that area, than any other state in the country. Miami 3 stars should be 5 stars everywhere else. And Miami has the talent. The talent is there. It's the offensive coaching. Defense, we rank number 1 in the nation. Last year, I think it was like number 7, number 6 in the nation. You don't get there by blitzing too much. And Logan, my little brother, I tell you, but you, the last person on, last coach on Miami coaching staff need to be talked about as Manny Diaz. And I didn't want him when we hired him. I thought he was trash when we hired him. So I had to eat crow on that.
This is the one thing I think about with Manny Diaz. He has to figure that out immediately. It can't be a situation where the team is confident and running. Hold on. I'll let you get it out. Hold on. Just let me cook. Let me cook. Hold on. I got you. Look, it's to the point where he can't let a team expose what their weakness is and watch them score a touchdown and have, what I think it was, 2 or 3 20-yard runs on a drive and then figure it out later. That game was 14-10 at the end of the first quarter. Hold on. I'll let you cook, man. Hold on.
Wait, hold on. What game are you talking about?
I'm talking about the North Carolina game. That's the most recent game.
It ended 47-10.
Right. At the end of the day, I'm saying that he needs to stop that immediately. He needs to stop that. Listen, so you mean to tell me, hold on, the way Carter was ripping runs off.
We had our second and third string in the game at that time. We're playing a second and
third string. What?
He brought the whole bench in.
The second first string is in the first quarter. That was the same defense at the beginning of the game. That was the first quarter.
Are you talking when he scored? Listen to me. Every team gives up points, man. When did they give up?
In the first quarter on an unranked defense. An unranked team at home.
It don't matter. It's North Carolina. Miami plays North Carolina tough every year. You see what happened with last year with Clemson and Syracuse. Miami plays North Carolina tough every year. They play Virginia Tech and Boston. Boston College should be ranked number 99, and they will play Miami tough. That's just what happens with those type of games.
Let me talk real quick. Logan's talking. All right, thank you. Hey, so all I got to say is, yes, we beat North Carolina 47-10. However, if you look up on ESPN on the matchup, and I've watched the game 3 times already, we got exposed. We were not as impressive as everyone thinks we were. Hold on. And that says numbers about last season when we played Wisconsin, when we played fucking – who was the other team that we played? Wisconsin and Clemson exposed us. They whooped our ass. And we had nothing.
I'll tell you something right now.
If Perry played quarterback, we're still not going to beat those two teams. We won't.
Did they expose our defense, though? They didn't expose our defense. You don't have an our defense. What you're missing, bro, and they scored 10 points. Bro, hear me. Last year we played 12 straight games.
Hold on. Y'all can't talk over each other.
Logan, last year we played 12 straight games after that hurricane. Our offense couldn't – we were the 3-and-out crew. Our defense stayed on the field. Our offense was never on the field. Our defense stayed on the field the whole game, just like they did against LSU. And just like – actually, if you look at the second half of the North Carolina game, We got three turnovers for three touchdowns in the second half. We had to call a timeout because our defense was too tired after that pick six to go right back on the field. So you
I'm gonna say
you
right now,
like
Miami
defense,
is not
but you're
a playoff
still ranked.
Team.
You're still ranked
we're
number
not a playoff team. We're not ready to hang with white boys. I'll tell you what, too.
I never said we were a playoff team. Logan, you missing me. Logan, you missing me. Never said we were a playoff team, Logan. You asked me that yesterday, and I told you I didn't know we were a playoff team because of the offense. Because of the offense, not because of the defense, man.
Okay. We're gonna get into the top. I mean, not the end. The NFL of course. Listen, you guys got to continue this on another show. this is what I'm talking about. How my love will come out into this show. I can talk about this until I'm blue in the face. Okay,
bro. I got a show on YouTube. I don't know if you ever seen it. I got 5,000 subscribers. Longer 1219 you family, and we do this all the time. Take phone calls. Do this. I went with Kane Shays last a couple years ago. We do this all the time, man. I talk about my team and I talk about other teams. It don't even matter to me. I talk football.
Okay,
I talk college football, man.
Okay. If you talk in the NFL, you can stick around with us, or we're gonna run into the predictions for the games of today for week 4 as well.
No, I'm not talking. I'll let NFL go for the last couple years. But I appreciate the opportunity, though, my brother.
All right, definitely, man. Well, we'll speak soon, man. We're going to get into it.
All right, my brother. Y'all be good.
All right. We do have James in the building. James, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better. Last week, you know, I had a bit of a cold. That's why I'm blaming for my horrid predictions last week. I didn't even want to come in for college football after what I said about Notre Dame, and then they come in and just put the slap down on Stanford, so I was just going to, you know, respectfully stay out of that. But I'm here, ready to talk. Hopefully the craziness stayed in last week.
Okay, so in which Thursday night matchup you did pick the Vikings, so you are one of the few that actually went up against the grain. Meanwhile, me and Vinny were able to pull that one off. So I'll start you off with the first matchup, the Bengals going into Atlanta up against the Dirty Birds, a.k.a. the Falcons. The Falcons are favored 3.5. Your thoughts on the matchup?
I do like the Falcons in this matchup. This is right now, the Falcons are in must-win mode. I mean, this game in particular isn't a must-win, but they've got to win 3 of their next 4 if they want to really have any discussion about playoffs right now. And I think it starts here at a home game. Atlanta generally plays a lot better at home. I'm going to take Atlanta for this one.
Vinny, your thoughts on this matchup, Bengals or Falcons?
I like these kind of matchups where it's out of division, out of different conferences, and it's on the turf. I see points here. Freeman's still out, so Coleman's going to be carrying the load for Atlanta. I see points, but at the end of the day, I'll take the home team. I'll take the Falcons 28-27, a close game.
Rodri, who do you like, the Cats or the Birds?
Oh, wow. Well, to me, guys, I mean, Deion Jones and Keanu Neal last week against New Orleans, they missed so much. I think it's underestimated how much Atlanta are missing them defensively because they looked quite terrible on defense last week, actually. Dan Quinn needs to run the ball. He knows that. They only run it 22 times for 48 yards last week. So, you know, and after going over 170 or having 170 against Carolina, you know, they didn't seem to get that done. You've got to give credit, I suppose, to New Orleans a little bit last week. What a great game. Probably come down to a coin toss, but problem for me, Julio Jones hasn't scored a touchdown yet this season. He does so much outside of the end zone, but when he comes down to the red zone, he's found wanting. Even though Calvin Ridley, you know, his protege from Alabama, which would be a good matchup there against Drake Kirkpatrick. If he's healthy, looking forward to that Alabama showdown. Austin Hooper's starting to play well. I'll pick Atlanta today. just based on the fact that I like Matt Ryan, and I think they'll bounce back at home. And how big this game is for them now. They're 1-2. The Bengals are 2-1. So the Bengals are the one going into the Mercedes Benz with the winning record. You'd think momentum and just want will to win will be with Atlanta, but got to get Tevin Coleman going. Love Tevin Coleman on Indiana. Need to see him run the ball in place of Dr. Freeman, because they are missing him, Devonta Freeman. They are missing him badly. And Falcons got to run the ball to help Matt Ryan out. But those Alabama boys outside, they're doing such a great job. Great to see some good talent. AJ Green as well, if he was healthy today. And I know he's struggling, so it'll be interesting. And then John Ross, the burner, is he gonna turn it around today? Because he needs to play better. And we could possibly see a shootout today, I'm thinking, guys, with Tyler Boyd as well. I think it'll be a shootout, to be honest. I think it'll be a big passing game. And Julio should have big yardage today, given that Calvin Ridley played so well last week. And will eat more coverage. And also Austin Hooper will eat more coverage. And a return for Mohamed Sanu as well, against his old team. So, yeah, should see a shootout. Aerial battle and Matt Ryan just come out on top. I'm going with Atlanta to win at home.
Okay, I am going against the grain. I'm going with the Bengals on the road to pull out the upset in Atlanta. What I've seen in the previous couple of games with the Atlanta Falcons, their defense is the issue. I think A.J. Green and Julio kind of, you know, cancel each other out in this matchup. Both of these receivers are going to be productive, especially A.J. being able to have questionable to be, you know, to be cool about it, a questionable secondary in Atlanta. And with the injuries that the Falcons have on the offensive side of the ball, I think this is something that they have to be concerned with on both sides of the ball being the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Bengals do pull this one off on the road and make it tough for the Falcons. And questions start to loom about how this season started for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going against the grain. Bengals win in a matchup up against Atlanta in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The next matchup I have is the Buccaneers up against the Bears. The Bears are favored by 3 in this matchup. I will start with you first on this one, Rodri. Your thoughts, Bucks or Bears?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think he plays better than we saw on Monday night against Pittsburgh. I think he returns today, and Mike Evans is going to be too much for that Chicago defensive backfield. I think what we see is a lot of quick passes just to keep Mark at bay, because he's being so dominant. Roquan Smith for me, guys, and Hicks, Akeem Hicks up front. Those two are so unsung. They're playing so well. Some really good football from when I'm studying the Bears. And, you know, Mark off the edge is just outstanding pass rusher. Out Tampa Bay, what are they going to do? They're going to chip him today a little bit. DeSean Jackson, the deep threat. Loved what Godwin done sometimes on Monday night, but his hands let him down. And I thought was a big reason why they lost that game on Monday night. He needs to play better today. He needs to put that behind him. Have a short memory, and because we know that OJ Howard's going to be good over the middle, and we know that Fitzpatrick has got the talent to come back, but he needs to rebound straight away to put to bed any talk of James Winston coming in, because there is talk starting. You know, he's there. He's back. You know, he's working hard, and he's the future. He's the first round pick. He's the first pick overall in the draft. Ryan Fitzpatrick's on a short leash, I think, guys. I think we're going to see if he has more than one bad performance. He threw over 400 yards on Monday night, so he wasn't that bad, you know. But it's the way the NFL is being played. If Vinny had done it earlier, we're seeing more 400-yard passes than ever before. The reason why is because of the way the game is played, this spread offense, and just the onus that's put on a passing game every game. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's a journeyman. He's played these games before. He's rebounded, and he needs to do it again. I think the fans in Tampa are very happy with him. Even though the game's in Chicago today, I still think he puts up yardage. And I think Tampa Bay is a close one. So I go with Tampa Bay. And look for Jordan Howard on the other side of the ball for Chicago for the RPOs from Mitch Trubisky. But, I'm going with the Bucks on the road.
James, just the team. Who are you going with, the Buccaneers or the Bears?
I'm going to take the Bucks. They have to find a way to stop Khalil Mack, but that's about it. Mitch Trubisky still can't throw left. I'm going with the Bucks.
Vinny, Bucks or Bears?
Rodri, you know I love you, and it's your birthday, but I disagree with you. I think that the Bears are going to win today. I think their defense is going to flex on Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers. I think the slipper continues to come off for the Buccaneers, and there's going to be a discussion this week on if it's going to be Fitzpatrick or Winston starting week five. I think the Bears and Trubisky, I think, has a good game today as well. I think that Allen Robinson catches his a touchdown pass and against a very suspect secondary for Tampa. And, yeah, give me the Bears at home. Their defense is too much.
This is a very interesting way. Do I tie this thing up or do I stay with the panel? This is interesting because I thought that that last game up against Pittsburgh might have been them trying to turn the tide and going with Jameis. They're sticking with Fitzpatrick at this point in time. This is an opportunity for Fitzpatrick to keep the job and have the world understand that he's for real, or if this was fool's gold for the 2-1 start. And the Bears, if they are for real, holding the lead in the NFC North, or do they fall to 500 and make it interesting with the teams that are chasing them for the lead for the division? And it's interesting, Trubisky versus Fitzpatrick. Wow. I am going to go with Fitzpatrick. I'll go with Fitzpatrick. I'll stay with the panel. And reason being, I still want to see what the Bears' secondary looks like. Their front seven is bringing it. Khalil Mack is in contention for Defensive Player of the Year. But I want to see them deal with the speed and the height of Mike Evans on the outside. If they can actually win on the outside and get Fitzpatrick windows to make these passes, which they're able to, they can win this game, especially with controlling the clock and moving those chains. I think the Bucks pulled this off being the underdog in an upset in Chicago. And it isn't that cold. It's 59 degrees out there. Okay, the game that takes place in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, the Lions going up against the Cowboys, and both teams are 1-2 going into this matchup. James, I'll let you break down this game first. Your thoughts on the Lions-Cowboys game?
So I'm going to start by saying every time I pick the Lions to win, they lose. And every time I pick them to lose, they win. So I'm just going to go ahead and go with my pick right now and saying that Dallas is just going to destroy them just for those reasons. But at the end of the day, as far as the matchups are concerned, it's going to be a defensive matchup overall, I think. Because the Dallas Cowboys offense have really not been able to get off of anything thus far. Even Zeke has, I mean, Zeke's been performing well, but not as well as he was 2 years ago. And that offensive line is really starting to miss Travis Frederick and has been all year. But at the end of the day, I think that the pass rush will get to Stafford, and I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Vinny, your thoughts on the game? Who do you like, Lions or Cowboys?
The Cowboys are missing their middle linebacker, Lee. He's kind of an anchor for that whole defense. He's the heartbeat. And I just don't like the Cowboys' offense. I don't think they can move the ball. I find that they're very hard team to put your finger on because they can show up or they can maybe not play so well. I like Detroit in this game. I really like Kenny Galladay. I think that he's a good player. I think he's underrated. I think he's as good as any of their receivers, and he's going to continue to get more and more playing time and more recognition. I think that he has a good game. I think Stafford has a good game here. And I think that the Lions offense is starting to kind of come around, and I think the Lions are just a better team than the Cowboys. And so I'm going to take the Lions in a road upset here.
Roger, who do you like, Lions or Cowboys in Dallas?
Yeah. I think Kerryon Johnson goes over 100 yards again today, bro. I honestly do. Mm-hmm. I think Vinny made a good point. And James, I love the logic. I love the logic of, of picking against the Lions just for them to win. I like the feeling behind that. That's very cool. But like Sean Lee's out again, and to me it's becoming like an annual thing where probably their best defender is injured every year, and he's outstanding, just an amazing player. When Penn State was producing the linebackers they produced, he was the epitome of a Joe Paterno linebacker, you know, until Sandusky went and messed everything up, and then you know he's here and he's sort of representing like Saquon Barkley, and now he's injured again, and it's disappointing. Jerry Jones came out with an amazing statement yesterday, saying that he actually compared the Cowboys to the Rams in many ways, and like whoever's cleaning his glasses, whichever son of his is cleaning those glasses, they need to clean them a bit better, I think. The Dallas Cowboys have not played that well at all, and you know I think that's pretty obvious. I think we're gonna all see that, but yeah, so impressed with the Lions' offensive line. I think this game will come down to the offensive lines, and right now, based on last week, the Detroit Lions have a better offensive line than the Dallas Cowboys, and that's something I thought, you know, last year I probably wouldn't be saying at this point. But like you said, Travis Frederick, he's been missed so much. Zach Martin and Tyron Smith are not playing up to potential, up to what we are used to. They are all pro potential now, all pro ability. We're not seeing that. So until that gets fixed, Elliott's not going to be happy and Dak's not going to be happy. DeShaun Hand, guys, rookie for the Lions, amazing player. Alabama, another Alabama product like A'shaun Robinson. I love those two for Detroit. And DeShaun Hand's playing really well. You watch him today. I'm sure we'll be watching that game. So, yeah, I'm picking the Lions on the road, Matt Stafford. And I just want to see them have another game like Monday, you know. So it shows that they've put things together, that Dan Quinn is bringing in these guys, you know, as a GM, because they need it. And, I'm not too worried about the passing game. I think we'll see a lot from the passing game. I just want Kerryon Johnson to keep it in that 100-yard mark, and LeGarrette Blount to come in and sub him well. So, yeah, I'm going with the Lions on the road. To win in Dallas.
I am impressed. I'm going to be watching that. If Kerryon can get back-to-back 100 yards, I don't even know if I look at that. I'll say that's a bold prediction. That Kerryon gets back-to-back 100-yard game as a rookie in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that would be a tough, interesting matchup. Moving right along, the Bills are playing the Packers in Green Bay, in which the Bills are coming off of an impressive win, and the Packers are coming off of a questionable loss, losing by 2 touchdowns to the Washington Redskins. The Bills winning that 27-6 point massacre in Minnesota last week. This is a very interesting matchup, but this game takes place in Green Bay. I don't even know if there's a definite advantage right now for Green Bay, because the Bills are a cold atmosphere team too, but with the Packers coming off of a loss, I will start this one up. I'm going to go with Green Bay to win the game. If the Bills could pull off the upset, I will apologize on air. It was a great win for you up against Minnesota. If you guys can go in the Lambeau and pull this off Wednesday night, I owe you an apology. I will go with the Packers. I will apologize on air if you guys pull this one off. I'm not persuading anyone's pick. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say if anybody wants to do it. So I'm going to let everybody say, at least say the team name. Even if Vince picked it out 3 times and it may be incorrect to him, I'm going to let him say what he needs to say. James, team that you like, Bills or Packers?
I'm going to also take the Packers on this one. The game against the Minnesota Vikings was a fluke. That's all it was. I mean, that really, I don't see it happening at all. I think you would have been safe saying, is there anybody who actually wants to pick the Bills? I don't think anybody's going to pick the Bills, and they shouldn't, because the Bills haven't shown. They've showed one really good game. That was a track game against a team that was playing on Thursday night against one of the best teams in the league. That's what happened. I don't think Green Bay falls into that same trap.
Okay. Vinny, who do you like in this matchup, Bills or Packers?
I'm gonna go with the Packers here. I think LeSean McCoy has a decent game, and I think that Allen is a better than okay rookie quarterback. Packers are at home. I'm gonna take the Packers. I want to see what the Packers do with their running game. I mean, this guy Jones is a real. He could be a really good running back, but they tend to want to split carries over there. I don't know if he's going to – I want to see if he can kind of get out ahead of everybody else and take the job, because he's very talented. Hey, Ty, I didn't get your pick on the Detroit game. You're going with the Lions?
If you don't know, now you know.
Yeah. No,
okay?
I don't know.
guess which way I'm going.
I still don't know.
Listen. I don't like the team that they're playing, so you know there's only one way that I'm going to go. No,
I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, I'm going
with the underdog going into AT&T Stadium to pull that off, and reason being we owe Dallas for the pass interference call. We owe them. We owe them. We owe them for the Jock Bell stomp. We owe them for that. The Tony Romo to Witten in the end zone, back in the end zone to win the game. We owe them a lot. There's too much on the line for both teams. And the crazy part about this matchup is both teams need to be in both at 1 and 2. The Cowboys not being at full strength. This is if let me just say it like this: if the Lions lose this game, right? Even though Ziggy answers out, the Lions lose the game. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered on if this season is a wash. Even with Ziggy Ansah sitting out, they'd be 1-4 through the first quarter of the season, and they're not missing many pieces right now. Ziggy Ansah is probably the strongest piece that is out right now. Offensively, they have their pieces. They're sitting players that are supposed to be productive for them, and just like they said, I didn't even know this stat was out there, right? Listen to this. On all of the dropbacks that Matt Stafford has made, this is impressive to me. Like, I'm stunned that this is a stat that's out there. Stafford has been hit or sacked the least in the NFL at 18% on all of his dropbacks. I did not know that Stafford has been upright the first 3 weeks of the season. I'm impressed that this offensive line has been able to keep him clean. That's good, and I haven't noticed that. Like, I'm watching the Lions game and saying Matt's still holding on to the ball. He's still holding on to the ball, but he's not getting hit. I didn't pay attention to that. So if he's able to stay upright and be able to make the connections against this defense, I think this could be tough for the Cowboys to win this game. So, of course, I'm going with my boys. I couldn't go against this regardless. You're going to get it biased or analytically. I'm going with my boys in this matchup. So if you want to hear it, I'm going with the Honolulu Blue in this matchup. Who did I miss? Robbie, you didn't pick the Bills or Packers. So just give me a team, Bills or Packers. You going Packers?
Packers, yeah, I can't go against Aaron Rodgers at home. And also, you know, Josh Allen starting. Josh Allen leading the Bills in rushing, though. Got to give props. Good to see all these first-round quarterbacks starting other than, you know, Jackson. I think this could be a better class than 83 the way it's going and the way the league is with the passing. I just add that in there. I can't go against Aaron Rodgers at home. I just leave it there.
Okay, interesting game right here. The Philadelphia Eagles on the road up against the Tennessee Titans, in which the Titans are 1-0 at home, and the Eagles have lost their only game on the road up against Tampa Bay a few weeks ago. Roger, I'll come right back to you. The City of Brotherly Love or the Titans?
Yeah, it was a great Instagram post or tweet yesterday from an air stewardess taking a plane over to Nashville from Philly. 175 Philly fans sung Fly Eagles Fly 35 times and cleaned the plane out of alcohol, just drunk every drop of alcohol. And the tweet was, look out, Nashville, look out Tennessee, because she just wanted to get home and have a drink. Anyway, Carson Wentz is back. Carson Wentz needs his boy Alshon Jeffrey back. He's on his way. I'm not sure if he's 100% healthy yet. He's been suffering with more than just that shoulder. He's been carrying a big flu bug as well. And, you know, we all know that's no joke. So he's just been out and bad. Aguilar, Ertz. Love the way the Titans are playing defense, though, guys. I got to give props to Mike Vrabel. Amazing job in his rookie year as a head coach. Doing a great job on the defensive side of the ball for this team. Love Jack Conklin and Taylor Lewan. For me, the best bookends in the league, and they're doing a great job. But can't go against the Eagles right now. Going with Philly, going into Tennessee against the Titans. Go with Philly on the road. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Okay. James, who do you like, Eagles or Titans?
I like the Eagles. They're just a better football team. I think that, I mean, every year there are multiple teams that start off 2-1, and don't end up making the playoffs. Tennessee's going to be one of them.
Okay, Vinny, who do you like, Eagles or Titans? Vinny, are you there? Vinny, do you hear us? Okay, I think we lost Vinny. I am going to go with the Eagles as well. Hopefully we can get Vinny back online. I've been going up against the Titans and not really seeing their true identity because they've been injured up until this point. The Eagles, I don't know what we're going to get, but I know that they have the interesting pieces coming out of the backfield, also with Wentz being comfortable making these passes. I want to see if the Titans secondary can slow down the passing attack of the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Continue to stay afloat in the NFC East. I have to go with the Eagles at this point. Moving right along with the Texans and Colts matchup, the Texans are 0-3 going into Indy up against the Indianapolis Colts. The Texans are favored by a point, but this is basically a pick 'em. I do have Vinny back now. Vinny, do you hear us?
Yes, I'm sorry. I lost you guys for a second there.
Okay, who do you like in the Eagles-Titans before we move away from it?
Eagles-Titans, give me the – so can I tell a funny story real quick? My memory of the – because you guys were talking about Fly Eagles Fly is being in college and we went to – made the trip to go to an Eagles game. They were playing the 49ers at home. And our college buddy, it was the three of us, wore his San Francisco 49ers jersey. We told him not to. The Philly fans were crazy. And we were out there in the parking lot and just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden, we get swarmed by a bunch of Eagles fans. And they were obviously upset at our friend who was wearing the 49ers. And they said, do the dance. And then we were like, what? And they start doing the bird. They're flapping their wings, and they were like, do it. And they were going, oh. And they were like, and so we just did it. Like idiots, we just started doing it because they all said it, and we were like overtaken by them. But that's my funny story for the Eagles. I always think about that every time I hear Fly Eagles Fly. But they're home, so give me the Eagles, yeah.
No, the Titans are home.
Oh, the Titans are home? Okay. Still give me the Eagles, though. Even though the Titans got a good defense, and I'm interested to see if they could stop Wentz, but give me the Eagles.
Okay, Vinny, I'm coming right back at you. The Texans in Indianapolis up against the Colts divisional battle. The Texans have not won a game yet.
I hate this game. I hate this game. I'm setting my – as I'm talking to you guys, I'm setting my fantasy – I do daily fantasy, so I'm doing my fantasy lineup for the day. And I'm looking at this game, and I'm looking at Giovanni Bernard. I know that the Falcons, I say this every week, let up a lot of pass catches to running backs. I'm looking at Tyler Boyd. Is he for real or not? I'm looking at Julio Jones. I know that he's supposed to have a good game, but he's got Ridley there. I'm looking at not Julio Jones, Hopkins. Is he gonna be able to produce? Is Fuller gonna do it again? Is Watson gonna finally come out of his shell and be what he was last year? I got a little confused there with games, but give me Andrew Luck, man. Give me Luck. I think that he's. The defensively, Indianapolis is superior, and I haven't seen anything out of Houston yet. So I'm gonna go with Andrew Luck this game.
James, just teams. So we're running down on time. Just teams. Texans or Colts?
I'll take the Texans.
Okay, and Roger, who do you like in this matchup, Texans or Colts?
Yeah, I got Texans. Andrew Luck, there's stuff coming out about him now. Just be confident with Andrew Luck, NFL, because he's back. And, you know, Clowney's not back from injury, I know, but the Texans haven't won a game yet. 0-3. I don't think they stay winless. Indianapolis has one win. So Texans are desperate, absolutely desperate for a win today. And I think they get one. They got to get one.
What's wrong with Watson?
I know. It's just the offensive line isn't helping him at all. He's under way too much pressure. And also, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure on him from last year, Vin. I just think it's so much expectation on him, and it's got him a little bit. He needs to just get on a better rapport with his receivers also. I think he'll come, though. I think he'll be all right. Just takes a bit of time sometimes, you know, but I think they got off the slide today. A great story, by the way, about Philly, man. It's just crazy there. I mean, that's the team who threw snowballs at Santa at Christmas, you know? So it's like, that's how harsh it is there, but yeah. Yeah, going with the Houston guys, because they haven't won a game yet, and I think they'll win one today. That's pretty much it, and I think these teams are pretty even. The reason for the one-point spread, Houston on the road.
I am going to agree with Rodney and James. I'm going with the Texans. If the Texans start the season out 0-4, not only am I questioning what's going on with Bill O'Brien, I'm also questioning that defense on what's going on, especially with the additions that they have to the team, including the Honey Badger back there. I think that they should be able to get after Andrew Luck, make this a tough game, and expose them to be, you know, a pass-heavy offense like we all know them to be. I want to see them try to force the run to happen and the Texans make plays to clean things up. If they lose, I look at the Watson and Hopkins connection. It was great when they started out last year, and they're falling out flat on their face. So I'm going to go with the Texans to get this thing started and tie this thing up in the division, both being 1-3 in the division, well, as in record play, but we'll see how this pans out. I'm going with the Texans. Moving right along, the Dolphins up against the Patriots. The Patriots are on a two-game losing streak. The Dolphins are one of the three only undefeated teams in the league at this point in time. I am going to set this one off first. It's tough for me to do this for City. It really is. I'm going with the Patriots. And the reason why I'm saying it's tough, because I've been disrespecting Tannehill all season long, and he has been listening and winning. He has been winning. So I don't know what's going on, but if Brady starts this season off with a one-win start and a three-game losing streak, I can't even think of the last time the Patriots have a three-game losing streak. I don't want to go against the numbers, but I'm going to stick with you, Brady. I know I could end up in crow, which I have been all season long going up against the Dolphins. They've done it before, but I don't think it could happen again. I'm going to go with the Patriots on this matchup. Okay. Roger, just team. I need Texans or Colts. I mean, Dolphins or Patriots, excuse me.
Adam Gase has done a great job. He's really got this offensive click in. Stills, Wilson, Grant, and Amendola are better than advertised. Kenyon Drake, he's only got 100 yards in the season, but he can run the ball. I want to see a bit more from Frank Gore when he's healthy, and Ryan Tannehill's been great. But I'm not going against them guys. Not three games in a row, no chance. Tom Brady wins one at home against a bitter rival. I'm going Patriots at home, and Gronk is coming in healthy. So yeah, Tom Brady, Gronk, Patriots at home. Can't happen, guys. Can't happen. It could, but I don't think it will.
Okay, James, your team, who are you going with, Dolphins or Patriots?
I'm also going with the Patriots. First of all, Vegas has a 1-2 team as favorites against a 3-0 team. That should tell you all you need to know about the respect that the Patriots, you know, deserve. But yeah, I see zero chance that Bill Belichick drops 3 in a row. That doesn't happen.
And Vinny, Dolphins or Patriots?
Oh, yeah, I'm with James. I'm with everybody else here. I don't see the Patriots losing. Give me the Patriots.
Okay, the next matchup I have is the Jets. Oh, man. Going into Jacksonville up against the Jaguars. I'm rattled. James, who do you like in this matchup, Jets or Jaguars?
Oh, Jaguars by double digits. The Jets have not shown even a monochrome of what we saw against Detroit in their other two games. I think that was just a matchup thing that they just happened to be really good against Detroit in week one. Jaguars are gonna do amazing things in spite of a less than adequate performance last week. I'm going Jags big.
Okay. Roger, this team, Jets or Jags? Roger, are you there? Roger, do you hear us? I might have lost
Hello.
Roger.
Hello,
yes,
I'm back.
Do you hear us? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going with the Jets at home. Jacksonville at home. I can't see them losing another one, and they can't afford to go at home. Jacksonville.
Vinny, Jets or Jags?
Yeah, I like the Jags defense. I think that they're too much for a rookie quarterback on the road. I would like to see Darnold do well. The Jaguars are too tough. Give me the Jags.
I'm going to agree with the panel. We have a unanimous decision, Jaguars. Browns or Raiders? The Raiders are off to an 0-3 start. The Browns with their first official start of the Baker Madness. Wow, I'm going to just throw this one around the kitchen. Your thoughts on this matchup, James? James, are you still there? James,
what's
are you there?
What's going on this morning? We keep on losing people.
I know, man. I don't know what's going on. Okay, Vinny, I'll let you go get it. The Browns or the Raiders?
Browns defense. I think the Raiders got to win eventually, though. You got to think that the at home against the Browns could be the time they pull one out, the first win of the year. But I'm not going to pick against the Browns. I think the Browns are a better team. I think defensively the Browns are showing that they can pose serious problems for quarterbacks and other offenses. So give me Baker Mayfield to and the Browns to win today, yeah, in Oakland.
James, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. I'm going to go – basically, I'm going to carbon copy what Vinny said. Oakland's got to win eventually. I can't imagine two, 0-16 teams in a row, but I don't think it's going to be this week against Cleveland. I'm picking Cleveland, who has a better defense, and as of Baker Mayfield's – and that makes me feel a little sick – as of Baker Mayfield's first start, it looks like they might even have a better offense too. I'm going with the Browns as well.
Robbie, Raiders or Browns?
Going with the Browns, guys. I just think Baker Mayfield's giving this team such a big breath of fresh air, and I don't know. I just can't trust Gruden yet. I don't know what it is. It's like as if he's come in, he's traded Mac. They're talking about moving the team to San Diego for a year before Vegas. I'm like, the fans can't get behind that stuff, guys. I honestly think, there's the difference in momentum shifting in two directions, and Cleveland, the team coming up on top. Carlos Hyde, 4 touchdowns on the season so far. He's playing so well, keeping Nick Chubb at bay at the moment. Jarvis Landry needs to catch some. David Njoku was amazing. But you look at that Cleveland Browns defense, guys, some great performance. Terrence Mitchell, the real deal at corner. Gone unsung a little bit, Terrence Mitchell, but he started well. And Denzel Ward in line for Rookie of the Year already. So impressed with Denzel Ward in his first few games. I think the Browns get it done on the road and get another win. Hey, this could be the start of something special.
Okay, this is very tough for me. But I'm going to go with the Browns, and I feel a certain way about this because I was the one that said that they would end up 2-14. Hopefully they win this game and this is it. But I'm feeling bad right now, and here's why. the Raiders just don't look as strong as I thought they would be. They do have interesting name value on the team. It's just not showing up as a cohesive unit together. And if they do lose this game, the questions start for me. I don't know if it starts across the board, but the questions start for me about Derek Carr and Gruden. This was supposed to be a marriage just made out to be. It hasn't looked that way, especially if Carr is turning the ball over. Gruden has been attacking, well, not really attacking, but he's been speaking on Derek Carr, too. So I think that there is stuff that underlies beneath the sentences. So I am going to start to question myself personally what's going on with Gruden and Carr. I think that move of getting rid of Khalil Mack is still stemming to this Oakland defense. I'm going with the Browns on the road in the black hole. Okay, the next of the 4 o'clock games, we have the Seahawks and the Cardinals. I am going to start this one off. I'm going to go with the Seahawks on the road. The Cardinals are looking as bad as we thought they were. I really feel like this is the Dennis Green statement, even though this wasn't the game because they played the Chicago Bears, though. But I'm going with the Seahawks on the road to get this thing started. And I think Doug Baldwin is available to play. I don't know if he does start. I'm going with the Seahawks up against the questionable Cardinals. Rodney, just give me a team, Seahawks or Cardinals?
Cardinals at home. And there's a reason behind it if you want to know the reason. If not, it's fine. But it's the Cardinals at home.
Okay.
I want to know the reason.
You can say the reason. I'll let you get the reason. I'll go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just want the team, it's fine. It's your call. Well, the reason is, guys, I don't like what's going on in Seattle. I just think, you know, Pete Carroll lost that team on the 2-yard line of the Super Bowl a few years ago against New England. And I think we're just seeing, you know, everybody's jumping ship. Earl Thomas is playing for other teams. He wants to be on the Dallas Cowboys. And we saw that last week. Even though he had 2 interceptions, I just thought it was so disrespectful how he sort of went about everything. And, you know, I think this rookie class, and Josh Rosen is starting the day, and I think Josh Rosen has got a massive chip on his shoulder. And I think Josh Rosen is going to come in, find Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, Ricky Seals-Jones, also a good tight end, going quietly, playing well. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to shock Seattle today. And I think we're going to see a little bit of Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen answering the bell like all the other rookies have done. Yeah, so that's my reasoning, guys. I just feel like Josh Rosen and the new head coach can grow together. And, you know, David Johnson, he's a great running back. Offensively, they got to go in. Chandler Jones against that offensive line of Seattle is going to have a big game today. Look out for Chandler Jones, I guess, to do some damage. And Patrick Peterson also always good. But, yeah, I like Chandler Jones in this Cardinals offense. I think we're going to see a good Josh Rosen today, guys. That's all.
Okay, James, this team, I need Seahawks or Cardinals?
Cardinals, just too much imbalance in the trenches. I'm taking the Cardinals.
Okay, Vinny, this team, Seahawks or Cardinals?
I like the Cardinals. I like your points about Rosen, Rod. I think that David Johnson, I think the whole team does better behind Rosen. This thing tends to spark teams. Give me the Cardinals.
Okay, I'm Rod myself. Hopefully the separation begins here. The next matchup we have is a 4 o'clock matchup in MetLife Stadium. The Saints carrying their talents to New Jersey up against the New York Giants. Vinny, I'll let you set this one off first. Drew Brees or Eli Manning, the New Orleans-born quarterback?
It's so hard for me to pick against the Giants. But, I mean, in this situation, the Giants have always tended to struggle against New Orleans when New Orleans is favored. So the way this matchup tends to work is that whoever's favored tends to win. And it's been that way for a little bit now, since I can remember at least. I don't think it's as high scoring as people think. I think it's because it's not in New Orleans. It's in New York. I think that the Giants put together a decent effort, but I hope I'm wrong. Don't get me wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I just can't see Eli Manning putting together a game to be able to compete with Kamara, Thomas, Ginn Jr. on the outside, Breeze. I mean, this offense is just a little bit too much for the Giants, I think, to be able to keep pace. And I think that Beckham Jr. he's got a tough matchup over there with the corner. In this game, if you want a fantasy prediction, I think Sterling Shepard gets loose. I think he could possibly have a good game. I don't trust Eli Manning. I feel bad saying it because I'm a Giant guy, but I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I just don't trust Eli Manning to be able to pull this kind of game out. So give me the Saints against my boys.
Roger, just team Saints or Giants?
Yeah, pretty much every reason Ben just said, I'm going to go with the Saints.
And James, Saints or Giants?
Saints for all the reasons I've already listed.
Okay, the next matchup is the Niners at 1-2 up against the Los Angeles Chargers. I said it right. And they're both 1-2. The battle out there in California, Southern California versus, I say, the middle of California. I can't really call San Francisco Northern California. I am going to favor the Chargers. I'll start that one off first. The Chargers, y'all, if they lose this game, I have questions. I have James, you ready? Big Will, keep on turning. Primary, keep on burning. I'm rolling on this dude. I'll sing it now. I'm going with Rivers today. Garoppolo's injury. I don't think if Beathard figures it out right now that quick to turn around. And this game being in L.A. too, I'm going with the Chargers at home up against San Francisco. Rosie, just team, 49ers or Chargers?
Yeah, it's the start of the C.J. Beathard era in San Francisco. Grandson of Bobby Beathard, by the way, guys. Bobby Beathard, a great NFL executive back in the day, just went into the Hall of Fame. Everybody's put in C.J. Beathard. Of what you're watching, guys, he ain't going to be as bad as people think. Derwin James on the backfield for the San Diego Chargers. I'm going with Rivers at home as well in L.A. as well. Yeah, and for most of those reasons you just mentioned, Ty, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. You know, Melvin Gordon's back and playing well. Should have won last week. Well, should have done better last week. I think they'll get it better this week. Chargers at home.
Vinny, Niners or Chargers?
Big wheels keep on turning. I'm also rolling on that river.
Okay, I said Vinny, but I'm going to get you. That's fine. It's okay. I got you now, James. Vinny, who do you like, Niners or Chargers?
I like the Chargers. I think an interesting thing about this game is I like Eckler. I think he could have a decent game just in garbage time because I think that they get up on the Niners here. And I like Mike Williams. Is he going to be a star? I think that he's really a red zone threat, and he's earned Philip Rivers' trust. And I can't see the Niners pulling it out here. Horrible that they lost Garoppolo, but this is the nature of the NFL. Give me the L.A. Chargers.
Okay, and now we have the 8 o'clock and the Monday night. So Sunday night matchup is the Ravens versus the Steelers. I really don't know which way to go. I'm going to set this one off, too. I am going to go with the curtain at home. I'm going with the Steelers to win this game up against the Ravens to keep it that much more interesting within the division to get the 2-1-1 and the Ravens at 2-2. I will start this one off and go with the Steelers. James, who do you like in this matchup, Ravens or Steelers?
This is a great game. I'm going to go with the Steelers. They need it a little bit more. I mean, it's a coin flip. I would put this as a pick 'em game, but I'm going to go Steelers just for...
Vinny, who do you like in this matchup, Ravens or Steelers?
Where's this game?
This game is taking place in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is home Sunday night under the light. Ravens, give me the Steelers. Although I don't like the way the Steelers are playing. I don't like the way this team looks. They're very, very erratic. I feel like they got too much drama going on with the whole Le'Veon thing, and they had a little drama with Antonio Brown, but they still have playmakers and a winning tradition. Give me the Steelers.
Roger, who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, tough to go away from the Steelers after Monday night. I think Ben Roethlisberger playing better football than what we saw. Seems to be coming back into his own. Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown, Jesse James, good receiving combination. James Washington, all playing well. And then if Vance McDonald's gonna stiff arm people like he did on Chris Conte, then you know, everybody seems to be in danger, because that was nasty on Monday night. But James Conner, great story. With Le'Veon Bell, I think the word on him, guys, is like they're asking for a second round pick right now, so he might be on the move very soon. The way it's looking, none of this is happening with Dan Rooney there, by the way, as well. You know, the former owner, class act, brilliant, that Dan Rooney. And I think they're missing so much, and that's a big reason why we're seeing so much problems there. JJ Watt's brother, TJ, on our defense, playing so well. Give me the Steelers at home, guys. Yeah, it's Steelers to win at home on Sunday Night Football.
Okay, and the Monday night matchup is the Chiefs and Broncos. I need plugs and closeouts from everybody with this pick. I will start with you first on this one, James. Chiefs on the road up against the no-fly zone Broncos.
I'm going to take the Chiefs. The offense has just been way too good to go against them at this point. Final shout out. In the past 3 years, only one team a year has gone 1-2, and zero teams have gone from 0-3 to make the playoffs. Right now, you're looking at Chargers and Pittsburgh. Which one of them isn't going to make it? It's tough. But we'll save that for another week. See you guys later.
Okay, definitely. Vinny, who do you like in this matchup, Chiefs or Broncos? And close out.
I'm excited. This is a cool game because of Mahomes and the offense, and everybody likes offense, right? I'm not going to pick against the Chiefs right now. They look tough. They look tough to beat. They're really exciting team offense. On that note, my closeout is that an early assessment on the NFL is, this is an offensive league now. It's such a quarterback receiver favored league, with numbers being thrown out by these quarterbacks and receivers, and it's being changed. And fun though, it's fun. The only thing constant is change. And NFL is beaten to that drum as well. Everything has to beat to that drum. I love the way the Chiefs are playing, and they look like they're going to be too much for the Broncos. Great show, guys. Heavy hearts, prayers to Jose and his family, and happy birthday to Rod. Let's have a good football Sunday.
So you are taking the Chiefs, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Okay, birthday boy, you already know what to do. I need you to pick a team, Broncos or the Chiefs, and a closeout also.
Yeah, thanks, Ty. I go with the Chiefs. I agree with a lot of points. I think Pat Mahomes is a hot hand right now. Jake Butt, I think he's a massive loss for the Broncos offensively. He's a good tight end, and he's coming along great. He's on IR now, so they struggle a little bit, I think, without him. Yeah, Chiefs at home. Tough show today with all that's been going on over the weekend, and my heart is with Jose's family right now, and I'm with you guys. Looking to get something on the website, some writing done this week, and get it on there. Keep moving forward, and you know, keep getting better, hopefully week by week, and we'll see where it takes us. Ty, thanks for having me on again. All the best, Joe. All the best to everybody in Sports City, all listeners. Take care. Speak soon.
Okay. On that note, I am going against the grain again. I'll be by myself on this one. I'm going with the Broncos, the no-fly zone. Here is why. Las Vegas, you are up to no damn good. Kansas City is favored by 4 points. This team has scored 40 points or better in almost every game that they have played up until this point, and you mean to tell me that Denver is within a touchdown of this game? Something is very fishy. I am going with the Broncos to pull the upset of the week. This is the upset of the week. I'm putting my bold prediction and everything to set this show off right.
Wow.
I know Jose would be going crazy right now, and I'm doing it for you. And rest in peace to JR also. happy birthday to my brother Rocky for sure. Go out there and enjoy your day. Get a brew for me, man. We all need it, man. A lot of stuff going on in life, but we got to continue to kick these doors down and keep rolling with the punches. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.